The Anderson.
Captain Baltimore.
They're awesome.
You're looking at the original horsemen, The Rock. He and Gene Anderson, the greatest tag team combination in wrestling history. And what did he do? Ole Anderson opened his arms to Ric Flair. The rest is destiny. Ric Flair, the greatest heavyweight champion of all time. And then to complete your tradition, the original four horsemen. Who comes in but Arn Anderson to complete the unit? And then when Gene Anderson went down, it created a big void. And what happens? Ole Anderson opens his arms to Tully Blanchard.
JJ, wait just a minute. I believe he said that we let an outsider in, is the way he put the terminology.
Yeah, he might have said that, but hey.
But this outsider, JJ, right here, world television champion, the proof is in the pudding.
You got the
proof.
Right,
that's exactly right.
And here's Ole.
Is that supposed to be something that you want to say to me or what?
If the shoe fits, wear it, Ole. If you'd have been taking care of business instead of that snot-nosed kid, you'd be...
Were you... Oh! Goodness gracious!
Let me get him out of here!
Okay, fans, we're going to take a break.
The horseman and the associate Lex Luger.
I want to first commend Arn Anderson for having the strength of his convictions and for having the courage to come out here on national television and to stand by the four horsemen. And I know, Arn, that it wasn't an easy decision to make.
Well, JJ, everybody across this country figured this would be the hardest decision of my life. But in all reality, it turned out to be one of the easiest. When you see, Ole, all those times you were at those amateur tournaments and you were praying and you were sitting there pulling for a member of your family, you forgot about me. Who am I, Ole? I'm family. What about me? You see, all those days in the gym with Tully and Flair, preparing for Starrcade, preparing for my chance of morality, preparing my chance for immortality. Where were you? You were thinking about, number one, your kid, yourself. Wally, as I said, I looked into your eyes. That fire was no longer there. Well, I worked too hard. I came too far to be one of the elite. And I'm talking about the four horsemen. So anytime anybody asks me, henceforth, where I stand, you look at Tully Blanchard, you look at Ric Flair, you look at James J. Dillon, they have shared with me something I'll never forget. It's being a four horseman 24 hours a day, Ole, not just at night at the building when we wrestle. It's at night after the matches, during the day in the gym, going through the restaurants. Yeah, we're a horseman 24 hours a day, Ole. That's something you decided to leave, and something I'm going to continue to hold right here forever or as long as I live, anyway.
Arn Anderson, I think it's important that you know that from this point on, the horsemen are your family. And Ole Anderson, we wash our hands of you. Get it in here.
South Connection, welcome to this bonus episode of Territorial. I am your host, Sean Kidd. And, you know, it seems like I've had to do this once before, but we're going to have to do it again when Terry Funk passed away. But this past week, as of this recording, which was on February 26th when it happened, Ole Anderson, named Alan Rogowski, died. And I am, everyone knows who knows me. I'm a big NWA guy, big Jim Crockett, really big into that 85 into 87 or 88, I should say, Jim Crockett NWA. Ole really kicked that era off, which, you know, we'll talk about as we go through this show, and I'll talk about here in a minute. One of the famous Anderson, really famous for GC, Georgia Championship Wrestling, had a reputation for being kind of a asshole, but I will tell you one thing in the ring and watching him from 85 into what we're going to talk about tonight. Some of the best promos you're going to find. Stiff as shit in the ring. Him and Arn together is absolutely amazing. But tonight, what we're going to talk about is his face turn. In 1987, when he left the Horsemen, I thought that would be kind of a good tribute tonight because I did a podcast called NWA Crock and Roll over on our sister feed, Place to Be Nation, that ran 60 episodes. And our first episode, it was when Jim Crockett Promotions started in April of 85. And the linchpin of that transition was Ole Anderson. We'll talk about that in a minute, but let me run down a few facts about Mr. Ole Anderson, and then we're going to get into what we're going to talk about tonight. So as I said, he died on 2/26. He wrestled primarily in his early career in the AWO in Florida. In 1972 to 1984, he wrestled in Jim Crockett Promotions and Georgia's Championship Wrestling, and he primarily just there. He was the Minnesota Wrecking Crew, which his partner was Gene, very synonymous with tag team wrestling in Georgia and the Mid-Atlantic territories. In May 1976, Anderson was attacked by a knife-wielding audience member in South Carolina and slashed his arm and chest, and he had to have some of his tendons reattached and a large number of stitches. So back in the day, wrestling was real to people, and people took it very, very seriously, especially when it was the heel dynamic. Behind the scenes, Anderson was also the primary booker for Georgia's Championship Wrestling and also had a stint in Jim Crockett Promotions in the booking as well in 81 and 82. And for a time, he even booked both companies. After combining both rosters for Supercards, which were noted for offering some of the best action in the business, he later left Jim Crockett Promotions to book and wrestle for GCW full time, which he did until Black Saturday, when Vince McMahon came in and took over the GCW spot at 6:05, which had you know, World Championship Wrestling had been aired since June of 1981 at that 6:05. So Anderson, who was a head booker of the promotion, rejected McMahon's new direction for the promotion and he resigned. He then formed a company called Championship Wrestling from Georgia, and Ted Turner actually gave him the 7:30 a.m. Saturday morning time slot. So basically, they were on the same channel, TBS, as Vince McMahon was at that time. But the morning show actually outperformed McMahon's in the television ratings, which a lot of people talk about, like Championship Wrestling for Georgia. But the fact that it beat Vince McMahon at 7:30 in the morning on a Saturday over the 6:05 slot probably gives you a clue about, you know, the audience of the TBS wrestling. Very Southern, which got kind of that reputation, right? He did Championship Wrestling for Georgia, promoted its first event in August of 1984, and its final event in April of 1985 when Anderson sold it to Jim Crockett Promotions. So that kind of transitions a little bit, which we'll talk about. In 1984, Anderson had a tag team with Thunderbolt Patterson, and in January 85, they vacated their titles. In March of 85, they vacated their titles. When Anderson turned on Patterson, which kicked off the Jim Crockett era on TBS at 6:05 in April of 85, because Arn Anderson had come in, and the breakup between Thunderbolt and Ole was really around Arn coming in, and Ole wanted to work with his nephew. I mean, it was just a really, really great story. We cover it all in episode 1 of NWA Crock and Roll that you can find over on the Place to Be Nation archives. We ran for 60 episodes on that. But what's interesting about that is tonight, where we're going to start off is in 1987. In 1987, I've said it on some other podcasts, is one of my favorite years. Just simply fact, because that whole 86, 87, 88, into 89, just primetime wrestling and pretty much all the federations. Even AWA was good, world class. WWF, I loved. So a lot of good wrestling in that era. But when we finished the NWA Crock and Roll podcast on Place to Be Nation, time got in the way when we started it. It was during COVID times. It was real easy to follow, but the research was a bear, just because Jim Crockett Promotions just books so much just books a lot of angles with a lot of wrestlers at one time. So trying to keep it up, trying to find the archive footage. We made it through 60 episodes. But the good thing is about the 60 episodes, we made it to the end of 1986 and we were going to start 1987, but we walked away from the pod, which is interesting because tonight we are going to literally 1987 and mostly February of 87 on until May, which we'll talk about that time frame. But in January 1987, You're going to have another territorial coming up maybe somewhat soon, maybe not so soon, that covers a lot of early 87, mostly in January of 87. The Barry Windham, Ric Flair single match show that they did, the build they had to that. But not only that, though, they introduced Lex Luger. And Lex Luger, in January of 87, made his intentions of known that he wanted to join the Horsemen. And he kind of became an unofficial Horseman. And then you gradually saw Ole start to fade to the background a little bit. And even though he still wrestled, you could feel the tension there. And JJ was always there trying to make it feel like there was no tension, but it was very clear there was. Ole even went in at one point in a promo, and it's not going to be on this show tonight because we're skipping over that part. He called Luger an outsider and was upset that they were allowing an outsider into the Horseman camp, which pretty much kicks off what you heard at the beginning of our show. So when you heard the episode of the show tonight, you heard what happened and the fallout and the fight that Ole and Tully got into that led to him leaving the Horsemen, and he was on the outs. And then you also heard a promo where Arn basically said, I am choosing the Horsemen over my family. So that kind of kicks off the Ole face turn and what we're going to talk about tonight. I thought this would be a nice little last tribute to Ole, just because his face run is so unique and the fact that he was such a miserable son of a bitch. And he had other face runs. I mean, he came back in 1988 after he retired, when Luger actually left the Horsemen and started teaming with Luger, which was ironic, but he's only back for a couple months. But he had been retired for almost a year at that time. Then he obviously came back in late 89 into 90 to team with Flair and reform the Horsemen with him, Arn, and Sting to take on the Muta faction, the Gary Hart faction. But then that lasted, the face run on that lasted literally a month because they turned on Sting. He wrestled a match, a few matches. He wrestled a tag team match at WrestleWar 90 against the Steiners with Arn, which honestly, guys, was a really probably good match. But then he started doing management. Then in 1990, he started booking. He did the whole Black Scorpion angle with his voice. And then in 94, he left. I believe he got fired by Eric Bischoff because he went behind Eric Bischoff's head. And he reached out to Jim Cornette to get his son a job at Smoky Mountain Wrestling, and apparently didn't go over well with Eric. Moving into the face turn in the feud, so what really caused this was Ole was spending a lot of time with his son Bryant, who was doing collegiate wrestling, so he was absent from the Horsemen for a lot, and that's what spurred it with Tully. He called him a snot-nosed kid and everything. So you heard the beginning of the show with what happened with the turn, Arn stance. Now we're going to hear from Tully, and then it's going to transition into you're going to hear from Ole, and then it's going to transition into Tully and to JJ with a further perspective from them.
Tell us your side of the story.
Well, as you say, a lot of people have been asking me what's happening with the Four Horsemen. I'll tell you this, as far as Flair is concerned, I really don't know because I haven't talked to him. Arn, I've only heard some things about him, and I'd say the kid's a little bit confused, and maybe he's just letting his brain race a little bit further than it should right now. Lex Luger, I tell you right now, you might be making a big mistake. You're a big kid, good-looking, got a lot of future. But I don't think you're going to have a future with a guy like James J. Dillon. I don't think you're going to have a future with a guy like Tully Blanchard, the man that's the outsider. And I'll tell you why. Because any time a person puts their business, whatever it might be, whether it's making cars or down here at the factory someplace, putting up tomatoes, or it's a farmer out here growing corn, if you put that ahead of your family, then you're making a big mistake. And I'll tell you what, in the years I've been on Earth, I finally maybe learned myself that there is something that's very important, that is family. And any time I got to listen to a guy like Tully Blanchard or James J. Dillon calling my people no good and making some comment about my son. Now you take a look and you ask yourself, you're sitting at home, you're right here in this building. What's more important to you if it isn't your family? What do we got Christmas for? What do we got birthdays? What do we got all these things for if it's not family? Well, I tell you, it's real important to me. Family is real important. And nobody makes a comment about my boy. I understand Dillon, he's even got this big Bubba. Well, I tell you what, Bubba, if you think it's easy, ask some of these people here, ask them all around the country what it was like when the Andersons were riding high. I might be an old horse, but as far as I'm concerned, there's still one ride left. Bubba,
Tully, JJ, anybody else that wants a piece of Anderson, it's going to be real, real easy. I know, Arn, you talked about the fire. You looked in my eyes and you said maybe the fire was going. Well, you look in my eyes again. You know what they say? The flame burns brightest just before it goes out. Well, maybe I'm on my way out, but it's burning bright right now. And I got one reason above all, that I'm going to make sure I knock some heads and I break some arms. And I'll tell you what that reason is. It's that son of mine. It's that snot nose. And everywhere I go, I'll be looking at you, Tully. I'll be looking at you, JJ. And I'll be looking for you, Big Bubba. And I'll be looking at you. And I'm going to be calling you a snot nose. Look out, because Anderson's coming.
So you come out here and you call me the outsider again. The first time you hurt me bad. You really hurt me, Ole, to call me an outsider. And you did it one more time. And I was a little bit disgusted. Then you did it again. Well, Ole, the disgust has turned in to anger. You know, you think back all those times you were gone. Off with that snot-nosed kid of yours. That's right, a snot-nosed kid. I was in the gym with your family. I was with Flair. I was with Art. I was working out. I was training. This is your place, Ole. Not doing the things you wanted to do. I was doing what was necessary for the horseman to be the horseman. Now, Ole Anderson, you want to come out here, slap JJ, cheap shot with me. What you are, Ole, is acting like a man that is fell from grace. And if you want to act like that, that's fine. Because, Ole Anderson, you're not dealing with a bunch of idiots. You're dealing with the elitist there is in professional wrestling.
Ole, take a good closer look at this. I think it speaks for it all right here. And Ole, it's obvious that you're not a part of it and never, ever will be again.
A lot of bases were covered in both those promos. Ole, great fire, talking about family, talking about Christmas, talking about how he's old and how maybe a burning light is always brighter towards the end and he's reaching the end of his career. I just think it was pure fire and he was really, really good. And then Tully and JJ follow up and basically say, hey, you're done, whatever, but really heats up in the war of words, which, again, Ole is really great at, Tully's really great at. So now, where does Ric Flair stand? So we've heard from Arn, we've heard from Tully. You had Luger standing in the background in some form or fashion because he's an honorary horseman or whatever the hell he is. So we're going to go to Flair. And what you're going to hear in the next set is a couple things. You're going to hear a TBS promo from Flair where he basically says, hey, you own a bunch of land. You're rich. Leave us out of it. You're going to be fine. Move on. Whatever. Pure fire. War horseman. Then we're going to go to an audio clip of when the horseman attacked Ole. In the ring, Ole gets mad and walks back to the dressing room and confronts Flair, which is a really great TV moment. If you guys, it's on YouTube where I get all these audio clips. Really great moment where Flair's just sitting there and Ole's in his ass and Flair just says, you know, gets in his ass and then the horseman beat the fuck out of Ole in the locker room. So he takes a beating again. Then we go to another segment right after that, which is a week later, where the horsemen are fighting in the ring. I believe it's Arn, Luger, and Tully are in a six-man. And Ole, Flair is doing background commentary. Ole goes up to him at where he's doing commentary and just starts ripping him apart and beating the shit out of him. And then Flair cuts this mad-ass promo at the end. So really big stuff coming up in the next set of audios. So pay attention and listen as it furthers the story here. It's pretty great shit.
Mark my words, you're a multimillionaire. You got land all over this country. Stay at home with the family. Don't try coming at us, brother, because family or not, this is what I live by. This is what I swear by. And this is what I'll be with until someone. And that means if you try to take anything away from us, you get it too. That's what it's all about. The four horsemen. And only right now, you're gone. Horsemen.
Welcome home.
We love it.
Tony Schiavone, I think you got to keep one thing in mind right here. Maybe what you just saw wasn't a pretty sight, but keep in mind, this was not a match. No match had taken place. The match was already history. What you saw was a family affair being settled. And Ole Anderson asked for what he got. Arn Anderson set the record straight. Everybody knows where Arn Anderson stands at this point. And he put Ole Anderson in his place. This is where you got a big dividing line.
about the size of a four-lane superhighway that separates the Four Horsemen and separates Ole Anderson. And I don't even want to hear the term former horseman used when describing Ole Anderson, because we have totally washed our hands with Ole Anderson. Family affairs, when they're settled, sometimes aren't such a pretty sight. And I got in there just to put a few boots in his ribs, which I never do. I never interfere in a wrestling match. But in this case, it wasn't a match. It was something that needed to be done. And when I looked at Ole Anderson, I remember when he walked on national television on the Superstation and unprovoked slapped me in the face. So nobody lays their hands on me. I'm not a wrestler. I'm retired. I'm an administrative director of Tully Blanchard Enterprises, and I handle things for the Four Horsemen. Now here's where Ole Anderson really shows his stupidity. He just got his butt kicked by Arn Anderson, that's the real stud of the Anderson family, and instead of tucking his tail between his legs, going back to the dressing room, which any intelligent man will do when he realizes he's in for more than he can handle. No, not stubborn Ole Anderson. Not pig-headed Ole Anderson. He's going to march a beeline right into the beehive itself. And I think you're going to see in a few seconds that he again made the second mistake of his life.
All right, here he goes, obviously into the dressing room.
You don't see the light. You're the one that turned your back in the horse.
You're the horse. You're not going to stand up. You're sure to fail.
He's an old man. Keep talking about age. Ole, we know what you have right now is a lack of incentive. Age has nothing to do with it. You were the greatest until you decided you didn't want to pay the price anymore, Bob. Let's see. When you're on top of the sport for as many years as Ole Anderson was, sometimes you just have a lack of more.
You look all pretty, but how are you going to look pretty when you're not so pretty?
And only attacking the world champion, ripped his coat. He's tearing his clothes off of him. Rick dressed in his suit and his tie and his shirt, and Ole Anderson now is just ripping his clothes right off of the champion. Flair down on the floor. Here comes Tully. Here comes Luger. They all come after Ole. Ole shoves him away and makes a very quick exit, which is the only thing to do with so many out here. The horseman just came charging out after the champ. The world champion still down on his knees. Ole Anderson. It was all Ole Anderson, JJ.
Where are the security people? Champ, are you all right? I got your belt.
Wow!
And Flair's going wild.
Ole! Where are you now? What do you think you're doing? What have you done? Do you know what you just did? Huh? I'll tell you what you just did. You just, in a very simple common term, made the mistake of a lifetime. You don't come out here and Jeff on a world champion when he's conducting himself in a business like Vader? No, you don't. You don't come out here and for one moment in your life insult the world champion. The name is Ric Flair. We are the Horsemen. I represent what this sport is. I am championship material. I am the blood and the guts of this business. And Ole Anderson, you, my friend, have just made the mistake of a lifetime.
How great were all those segments? Flair at the end was just going bonkers. Basically, you know, said you just made the mistake of your life. Ole, like, I never got a title shot from you, and was all up in his ass. The attack in the back in the locker room where you can hear Ole just moan. Like, this is just classic Jim Crockett booking. Great, great shit. And never in a million years at the time when I was watching this, but I imagine I ever would have thought I would enjoy Ole as a face, but kind of he's a loner. Like, he doesn't have any friends at this point, which is going to transition to what we talk about next, because think about for years, he was going to take out Dusty, and like literally Dusty and all the other guys are really staying out of this right now. Because it's all about Ole. I mean, again, Dusty still does Dusty things. You know, I want the TV title. I want the world champion. He cuts promo on everything because he has his hand in everything. But as far as this goes, he really tends to stay out of it, which is really kind of cool because you got a separate booking. Ole is a great baby face, but he's a loner and nobody likes him. So he's taking on the Four Horsemen all by himself without any help. Until now, and what I like about this next set of how this feud plays out a little bit, we haven't got any matches between any of them. We're going to get to one in it. We're going to get to one here eventually. I think you heard it in the earlier promo, in the first promo that Ole cut. He talks about Big Bubba, and JJ has Big Bubba. Well, JJ did secure the services of one Big Bubba for the Crockett Cup 87 because he is going to face Ole Anderson in a cage, which also would be the transition for Big Bubba kind of on the way out a little bit of Jim Crockett, because he'll go to UWF, I believe in May, and he wins the UWF title for the one-man gang, who actually leaves to go to the WWF after he loses his title. So just, I guess, call it people succession. But at any rate, we will talk about the Bubba Ole match when I watch it. It's only 6 minutes long, but we'll get to that later on after we get through all these promos. All right, so now we're going to talk about Ole's going to get a friend. And Tim Horner, you know, really has been around a long time, Continental. He was at Georgia Championship Wrestling. One of his earlier moments in life that was a big deal is he got a pinfall of Road Warrior Hawk in Georgia Championship Wrestling. I believe it was in 83 or 84. But he's always been kind of like a jobber to the stars, but he'll randomly get these wins out of the blue sometimes. And in this time frame around January, he fought Tully for the TV title on TBS as part of the Barry Windham build with Flair, which will be covered in another pod. But here, what I like is the most unlikely friend that Ole would get is, you know, a Tim Horner. Because if you can't have a Dusty, if you can't have a Nikita, you can't have a Barry, you can't have a Garvin because you burned your Rock and Roll Express because you burned your bridges with everybody, what do? Tim Horner is here to help, and we're going to play how that all came about with Tim Horner joining forces with Ole Anderson in this feud with the Horsemen.
A recent encounter with the Horsemen turned into a riot with that bat.
Well, I'll tell you what, I told a lot of people, said, oh, you haven't got anybody that's a friend of yours. Well, I found out I got a lot of friends. Here's one of my friends right here, and I got a lot of friends right out here. I got a lot of people that want to see somebody take care of the Four Horsemen. And I tell you what, if there's anybody that can take care of the Four Horsemen, you're looking at the guy right here that'll get the job done.
I think you're right, too. Let's show the fans what we're talking about. Let's show exactly what you did.
This man looks better and better on TV. We're talking about White Lightning, Tim Horner. Tim, good to see you.
You know, Tony, it seems the Horsemen think they've got everything figured out. You know, they're going to push Ole on the side, and they're going to say, well, we're going to go on without our business. We're wrong, because you ain't going on without your business, because what you've done is you stirred up a hornet's nest. And let me tell you something, when you mess with a hornet's nest, you're going to get stung, exactly. Now let me say something about Ole Anderson.
1 minute, big boy.
You wait just one minute.
You wait just
a second. Don't put your hands on me. You come out here like big time white lady. You're a great wrestler. You do a lot of great things. Do not stick your nose into horseman business. Don't come out here and say, oh, Ole, I'll be there to help you, because you got nothing to do and you got nothing to be.
Let me tell you something. I'm not going to stand out here and be set up like you set up everybody else. If you want some of me, you've got that title. You can get in the ring right now. If you feel froggy, buddy, you just hop on.
I got plenty of frogginess. Hold it.
Well, there they go. Horner's issue the challenge. He's coming your way, Bob Caudle. And over here now, Tully Blanchard taking off his watch, his glasses, and he's on his way to the ring. Bob, here they come.
Oh, Tim Horner in the ring, and Tully Blanchard is coming in his street clothes, taking his shirt off. Outside the ring, going in after Tim Horner. He's got his street shoes on, and they're swinging out. There's the red point. And now they all attack Tim Horner. Horner's holding him as Luger powers him on the right. Here comes Taylor back. Horner with Tim Horner. Only with a baseball bat.
Only with a baseball bat. Holy cow. Get up, Rob Lewis. Only Tim has nothing.
It does look like
a patented dance. You see the dance of the Rock? I'm going to be dancing like that every time I get a chance to go after those guys called the Four Horsemen. And talk about Ole not having any friends. Well, take a look at one of my friends right over here.
But Ole, you know exactly how I feel. Anytime you want me, I'm going to be there, because if you want a piece of the Rock, you don't have to go to Prudential. You can get it right here. Hey. It ain't going to be four on one anymore. It'll be 4-on-2.
No. It's going to be 4-on-3. Jimmy, Ole, and this bat coming for the Horsemen.
All right, fans. The
dancing of the Rock. 50-year-old Ole doing the dance of the Rock. So, yeah, and that's the other thing I haven't failed to mention. You know, we know the Rock, right? You had Don Rock or Morocco. But Ole is the Rock. Like, that was his nickname, the Rock, Ole Anderson. So, kind of an OG Rock there for you. Kind of led from the front on that nickname. But, yeah, I mean, so much happened in there. Like, Tim Horner just randomly comes out and says, well, you know, the Horsemen think they're going to dominate everybody and, you know, Ole, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, then Tully comes out to confront him. And then, well, if you're feeling froggy, let's go get in the ring. And then they all get in the ring. And, of course, Tim Horner gets his ass kicked by the Horsemen and then runs Ole in with his baseball bat and swings it around and clears the ring, hits the Horsemen with him. And then him and Tim are standing tall. And Tully now has Ole now has an ally for himself against the Horsemen, which very unlikely Tim Horner. You know what's interesting about this time frame too, because I was looking up cage match and match results. They did team up a couple times. Like, literally, the only televised match we have of any of Ole facing any of the Horsemen is our last match we're going to talk about tonight, because it's a 5-minute match between him and Arn on Sunday Super Bouts, which aired in May, and I think it like actually was recorded way back in April. But just like this whole build is all promo. No televised matches. But if you look at the house shows, you know, he faced Tully for the TV title. I'm going to look at cage matches as we get to the end and just kind of do a rundown of things. But I know he faced Tully quite a bit for the television title for sure. And it was a lot of DQs. But we now have Tim Horner in the mix. And by the way, I don't really know how Tim Horner necessarily means you have a lot of friends. I got plenty of friends. Tim Horner is not plenty of friends. It's you and Tim. And he even said it in a promo. Oh, well, now there's 2 versus 4 versus 1 versus 4. Tim Horner should not talk on a mic, Ole. Like, literally, if I'm a Horseman, I'm laughing at you right now. But he is very good in the ring. Has some really, really good matches. If you see him in Continental, he's really good. But he's also good during this time frame. And he's also good with the next person that supposedly is going to join the party in our next match, because Brad Armstrong faces Tully Blanchard. This is the weekend of April 11th. This is a week after what we just talked about. It also happens to be the same weekend of the 1987 Crockett Cup, where Ole is going to face Big Bubba in a steel cage because he's been leased out for Jim Cornette over to J.J. Dillon. But the same weekend, they had a syndicated TV title match on the television where you have Brad Armstrong going against Tully Blanchard for the TV title. And you will add a third party to the mix of the feud with the Horsemen and Ole. So let's take a listen to the ending of this match, and I'll be back to talk about it, and then we will go from there. Is very, very good. Brad Armstrong is a really good, I'll say good hand, but he also is fresh out of Continental, where he held the title numerous times. The Armstrongs dominated Continental Wrestling. I've been watching a lot of that lately to kind of prepare to do a pod for that territorial. But him and Horner, Bob is here. Bullet Bob has come in from Continental. I mean, they are technically affiliated, so but they come in, and you know, they had these TV title matches, so Tully had this gimmick of $1,000 to anyone that could beat him at this point. So he'd get on TV and he would face Tim Horner. He would face Brad Armstrong. He faced Bullet Bob. It's leading to a match with Dusty down the long run hole, but the long way here, but it's just, it's so good. And Tully is such a good heel. He really takes a good ass whipping. That's one of his best features as TV champion, is you believe everybody is going to beat him, and they never do for the most part. But really solid match. Good showing from Brad. Good fire at the start. And then at the end there, you heard that Luger came in, interfered, and then they reversed the decision, gave the win to Brad in the DQ, and then they beat him up. It was Arn, Luger, and Tully, and then JJ ran in, and of course, Ole ran out with his bat and Tim Horner, and the three of them stand tall, and now you have a trifecta of men to take on the Four Horsemen. In the meantime, Flair's nowhere to be seen, because earlier in the same program, this is NWA Pro Wrestling 4/11/87 for anyone that wants to know. Early in the program, Flair has begun his program of hitting on Jimmy Garvin's wife, Precious, which leads to a cage match in July, which long term also leads to Flair losing his belt in September. So they're already starting a feud with Jimmy Garvin here in April that doesn't culminate until July. So interesting. Like they said, 87 just moves on so many cylinders at so many levels. Flair's kind of already moved on. There's been no televised matches with Ole with any of these guys yet. And now what I also kind of like is they're taking not jobbers, but they're taking two kind of mid-card guys to team them with Ole because it makes sense, obviously. But I would have thought there would have been some kind of big blow-off or something to that effect on TV as a six-man. But I don't think we ever got that either because we're down to our last two matches and kind of the end of this feud because I would have loved to actually see a match between him and Tully on TV. Like our last match tonight is him and Arn in like kind of a five-minute just sprint. But God, at minimal, I'd love to see him and Tully because Tully and him were the ones that began the initial feud and we never get a TV match with him, which is insane. But anyway, our next match is going to take us to the Crockett Cup in 1987. And this is kind of a big one. This has been built really well with JJ behind the scenes, but it's Big Bubba taking on Ole Anderson inside the steel cage. They are employed by the Horsemen to take, he's employed by the Horsemen to take Ole out. And Bubba, you know, has been really kind of a force of nature a little bit. He feuds with Dusty a lot. He had a pretty good match. I thought it was a good match with Garvin at Starrcade 86. Been Jim Cornette's right hand, and they clearly see bigger things for him, which happens in May. Like I said, he goes to UWF, and he actually beats the one-man gang, which is funny considering they go on to be the Twin Towers and become kind of a focal point heel team in the evolution of Savage and Hogan in that whole thing. It's just amazing as you go back and watch old TV, how many wrestlers pre where they really made impact are just so, it's just so interesting to watch all of this stuff. But all right, so so let's talk about the match at the Bash real quick. So again, we talked about it's a steel cage match. The match is super quick. It is only 6 minutes long. Not only is it quick, it is super stiff. Like it's potato shot, fist to head, knees, kicks. Ole dominates the majority of the match. It just beats the shit out of Bubba. Then Bubba beats the shit out of him. At the beginning of the match, Ole just runs in place and literally charges at Bubba and throws him into the cage. Ole ends up getting busted open, and the end is pretty cool because Big Bubba gets up on the top rope, goes for a splash and misses, and then Ole hits a really cool visual pile driver on Bubba. And so the referee starts counting, and Bubba can't, because they're both down, and Bubba can't get up to make the count. So Ole Anderson beats Big Bubba. And like I said, after this match, Bubba is out the door and on his way to UWF, where he goes on to some pretty cool things. He would win the UWF title from One Man Gang. Then he would go on to lose it to Dr. Dust Steve Williams over the Bash. And I also realized that I said this match took place at the Bash. It did not. It took place at the Crockett Cup. So really, again, like I said, some cool history here with a lot of different players. But Ole is victorious in his match against Big Bubba. And so that leads us to our final match that happens in May. It happens on NWA Super Bouts. And by the way, I would say that Stiff Fest with Bubba, probably a solid 5 minute 2.75. It's just good stuff. So glad you're ready to watch it. So Super Bouts was a TV show on a Sunday night TV show. I would reckon it to the main event on Sunday nights. If you ever watched NWA main event, probably the precursor to that. I don't understand this match being on this show. It's Ole and Arn. And again, the match itself, very similar to the Bubba match. Ole just comes in like a madman and beats the snot out of Arn to the point where Arn has zero offense. Arn ends up getting disqualified, but Ole just beats the shit out of him to the point where he's even on the top rope and does a freaking jumping knee to the Arn's back. It literally looks like he broke Arn's back. Not good. Like, how do you build this? Like, Ole Anderson, even the Horseman, is such a big freaking deal. And the promos leading up to it were so great. And literally the only matches we got televised were Ole versus Bubba and then this five-minute one on a throwaway Sunday night show. I liken it to anyone that listened to the 7 Months of Danger pod that we did here on North-South. We finished it last year, but it's a 23-episode mini-pod. And I liken it to when Larry Zbysko went face. Very similar circumstance where he broke away from the Alliance. And you really didn't get any matches with him against anybody. It's very similar here. It's very weird. And then they blew it off on the main event show where he lost to Cactus Jack. He didn't even lose to a member of his own faction. So really weird way. I mean, I guess NWA and WCW both do it, but this Horseman one, the build was so fucking good with the promos and the Bubba match. And then, you know, he got Forces of Nature and he got friends with Tim Horner and Ole Anderson. I'm sorry, Tim Horner and Brad Armstrong, and nothing came out of it. So that kind of puts a pin in it, man. That's it. Like, this is the blow off of it. Nothing ever came of it. And just weird. But overall, I will tell you, the face turn was done really well. The promos were done really well. I liked Ole the Loner. I love the fact that they got Flair involved. But as I look it up, I'm actually looking at Cage Match as we record this. Him and Flair never even had a match. In fact, the majority of the matches that I'm looking at, there were several TV title matches against Tully that ended up DQ. Several matches against Big Bubba. In fact, right after the face turn, the first face turn that Ole had, the first match afterwards, was against Big Bubba, where he won by DQ. So his last match with Arn as a tag team was on February 28, 1987. His first face match was 3-14-1973 is my birthday. That's funny. But 3-14-1987, he faced Big Bubba. Then a week after that, he faced Bubba in a cage match. Then he faced Bubba again in a cage match. Then he had his first match against Tully Blanchard, continued to fight Bubba. Then he got into some matches with Arn Anderson. There is only one recorded tag team match that him and Tim Horner actually teamed together, and it was them they did team more than once. So the first time they teamed up was on April 30th, 1987, and they beat Arn Anderson and Lex Luger. And then on May 5th, the Horsemen, Tully and Arn, beat Ole and Horner. And then as we went into it, the Horsemen beat Ole and Horner again on May 4th. Then Tully actually beat Anderson in an NWA TV title match on May the 7th. Tully got a few wins against Ole. Oof. Oh, look at this. He actually did wrestle one match at the Bash in North Carolina. So this is Ole's last match in 1987. So his last match against the Horsemen was May 9th, 1987 at a house show at the Charlotte Coliseum, and he lost it. He lost the match to Tully. His last match in 1987 before retiring, before he joined Luger, when Luger turned face in 88, he beat the Barbarian at the Bash on July 7th. Yeah, July 11th, 1987. That was it. So, yeah, pretty standard. He didn't really interact with a Kita, didn't interact with a Dusty, stuck it close to home, and the Brad Armstrong thing never came together, and he ended up being just with Tim Horner in a couple tag team matches and won one and lost the rest of them, but he dominated Bubba and dominated Tully and dominated Arn for the most part in the matches that they had, be it by DQ or whatever. But yeah, so an interesting moment in time, short run, end of February into July, I guess. But the amount of TV you got and matches with him, at least facing the Horsemen and Bubba, this is what you got. And the Bubba match wasn't even on TV. The Bubba match was at the Crockett Cup and got it on VHS when they advertised it. And I remember the build and I wanted to see it. No blow off six man, no blow off with Flair. Don't know how I feel about it. I know the build to it was great. The promos were great, but the match wise, I'm kind of disappointed in what we got. And I liken it to the Larry Zbysko run that we talked about when he turned face, when we did the 7 months of danger with the Danger of Lust Alliance pod. So, but at any rate, Ole Anderson, really, really great brawler, great talker, great promo. His matches with Arn, with the Rock and Roll Express, were some all-timers. There's one at the Bash of 86 that is absolutely amazing. His hatred for Dusty. He had a tag team with Stan Hansen. Like, you could go back and look at the history of Ole Anderson. There's so much good stuff in it. And I just think for the most part, people think of him as the old guy in the Horseman that bailed when it first became mainstream, because right around that time when he left was when they started really getting cooking. And he was at the tail end of his career in 85. And then into 86, he was gone for a little bit in 85, came back in 86, teamed with Arn. Never met his mission of taking Dusty out, so he never made that happen. But Ole Anderson, you will be missed. Really great wrestler for those of us that like the territory wrestling. And Ole Anderson, I think, represents a section of the territories in the South that, for me, he helped me fall in love with wrestling. Like I said, he kicked off the whole Jim Crockett era, and kind of cool to see him go out as a face, and I thought that'd be a nice fitting tribute to say goodbye to Ole, and also go back and revisit a moment in time that I truly, truly loved. If you want to hear the rest of the Crockett run that our Ole kicked off, go back over to the Place to Be Nation feed and look up NWA Crock and Roll. There are 60 episodes, but episode one starts right out of the gate with Ole Anderson turning on Thunderbolt Patterson. Now, back then, I didn't use audio clips, but here's how we're going to end tonight's pod in tribute to Ole Anderson. So, as I said, Ole Anderson, great, great promo. We are going to end this with a series of Ole Anderson promos over the years, dating back all the way into the 70s. And then the final promo on this will be from September 26th, where 1986, where he calls out Dusty. In this compilation, though, you will also find the promo that he cuts on Thunderbolt Patterson, that literally the following week after he cut the promo led to the Jim Crockett World Championship Wrestling debuting on TBS in April of 85, the transition from championship wrestling from Georgia. So you at least get the promo of that, and it's pretty good stuff. That might be one of my favorite promos from Ole, is when he starts talking to Thunderbolt, and you'll hear it where he's like, well, I made a mistake. I realized that I spent too much time on people like you and Dusty, and the face, the heel turn is done so well, so methodical, almost evil, to the point of I don't know how you don't love Ole Anderson if you watch that promo. Because when the guys that did the prod with me, Colum and Dr. G at the time, and then Jacob Williams was our guest star in the first episode, all of us fell in love with Ole right away after that promo, and then the turn he did with Arn that following week. All right, so I have babbled on enough. Thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed this mini little tribute to Ole Anderson. I hope you enjoy this promo, the little promo run that I'm going to have for you here, and then the song after it as well. So thank you guys for listening. I will talk to you on the next episode of Territorial here on the North South feed. Good night, everybody.
As I said to you, Gene, there's going to be a time when that thing is going to be all right, I hope, okay? And when it is, then what you've expressed to me and everything else, we're going to go ahead and do. And that is to go after two guys that are sitting out there. I know you're not supposed to talk about revenge, and I know you're not supposed to say you're going to go out there and you're not supposed to say kill, right? But I'll tell you what, in this particular situation, when they tried to paralyze Gene, cripple him, we're done. We're done wrestling. We're done playing all the games and everything else. All the marbles, you can take the belts or whatever you have to do. You're talking about a human life here. You're talking about my brother's life. Sometime, I don't know when it's going to be, a month from now, 2 months from now, three, whenever it is, Gene is not going to be laying down. He's going to be standing up, and he's going to be working out, and he's going to be working out harder than he ever did. And together, the two of us are going to do all in our power to get a match with you, Flair and Valentine. I don't care where you are in the country. I don't care if you're in Alaska. I don't care if you're... No matter where you go, we're going to make sure we get a chance to get you. And when we do, you can rest assured that we're not just going to go out and wrestle. We're going to try to do what you've done. Only we're going to do a better job of it. Remember, Rick, all those things that we taught you. Remember the things that we've done. You know, we're not strangers to hurting people. That's been our profession, too. But the difference is, when we put our minds to it, we can do a better job. And when we catch up with you, whenever it may be, you rest right now. But whenever it may be, Gene and I are going to come. And when we do, heaven help you. Because I guarantee it's the last thing you do. We're going to see you on your back. All you people in Greensboro, you take a look. And Rick, you and Greg Valentine, you've taken an especially close look. Because this is what you're going to look like, Rick. And Greg, you're going to look the same way when we get done with you tomorrow. Because tomorrow, if you remember, you got it marked on your calendar. Sunday, October 30th at 7:30, Gene and I are coming to that Greensboro Coliseum. And we're coming to do one thing. I should say two things. We're going to beat you, and when we get done, we're going to have you sitting in that ring. And I personally am going to cut your hair off. That's right, Rick. I know you got to be nervous. I know you got to be scared. I know you're crawling all around like a monkey in a cage, like an animal. Well, tomorrow, Rick, it's all going to come to a stop, and I'm going to make sure that everybody in that Greensboro Coliseum gets a treat, and you get a treatment. This time, we're going to be doing everything. We're going to be cutting the hair. And it's going to be your hair, Rick. Imagine how you're going to look. Oh, but take a look and see how you're going to look. Tomorrow at about 10 o'clock or so, you're going to be walking around bald. You'll be looking like Kojak. Your head down. Get ready.
A lot of people wonder what it takes to be a great professional wrestler. Well, certainly it takes the stamina, takes the knowledge of wrestling, takes ability, takes a lot of guts or intestinal fortitude. But I think something that Ole Anderson has that a lot of other people don't have is the patience, the ability to wait. Patience and planning always pay off. Anybody that doubts that statement only has to think back a little bit to the wait that I made for Dusty Rhodes. A long time and a lot of planning went into it. And now I've made a list of individuals that I intend to get. I'm at a point in my career when I have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Those people that who have attempted to humiliate me or maybe embarrass me, maybe even beat me, those are the people that are on the list. And one of those people that I made public was Bill Watts, the big cowboy from Oklahoma. The man that I used to see out of the corner of my eye. I'd hear him coming down the aisles with that big stick. Well, Bill, your time has come. You don't run down the aisle so good anymore. You're hurt. You've been around maybe just a little bit too long, and I intend to shorten it. Watts, get ready. Start to worry, start to sweat, because I'm coming for you.
You know, it's funny. A lot of people really think a lot of you, and I guess with all those little cute remarks, you're a pretty smart guy. But if you watch the TV, I don't know where you were, but I'll tell you what happened. I didn't like really what you did to me, and so I just very kindly would ask, and did ask at that time, for an apology, and I ask for it again now. An apology, that's all. Then we forget about everything.
An apology.
Home.
An apology.
An apology.
For what?
Well, maybe you don't remember. I'll refresh your memory. Last week, you hit me, you know, maybe once, maybe twice, I don't know.
I wasn't here last week.
Oh, 2 weeks ago?
Oh, 2 weeks ago.
Oh, now I'm starting. Now you're going to make, I forget, huh?
Well, I don't care.
No, okay. All I'm saying is, you make the apology, and everything is forgiven.
You know, the way I figured is this. If you would have minded your own business in the first place, you wouldn't need to be asking for an apology. And so you just simple as this. You just stay out of my way, pig face, and you won't have to worry about nothing, man.
Pig face? Hey! Purple! Hey, no, ooh, don't give me that crap, ooh. You tell him or you tell anybody else, you don't be talking to me like that, and he doesn't be talking to me like that, and you get his fat butt out of here, and I'll make sure we'll see who the hell. You get purple!
No, I'll tell you what. We'll be back. We'll be back in a moment.
That you're going to backhand me down here and take after a gentleman like this, that I'm just going to lay down there and go ar, 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 like a little puppy dog. Well, you are wrong, Jack. I ain't that kind of man. I'm my own man. I do what I want to. I don't agree with whatever it is and how you do it.
Why don't you shut up for 5 seconds? You're so good at explaining. You're so good at talking. Why don't you just say a couple little, huh?
Keep costing me money every time I'm out here.
It's going to cost you a lot more money, Piper. I'm telling you this. You're out here and you explain to everybody. You tell everybody how this happened and that happened. I love it. Fairy Tales by Roddy Piper. Now all I want from you is an apology. And I waited long enough. Long enough, Piper. I want the apology and I want it now.
Okay, it's very, very simple. I'm going to tell you really nice. I'm going to tell you like a gentleman because I know you're a very strong man. You're strong as an ox and you're almost as smart. I am not apologizing to you.
We'll be back. We'll be right back.
You know, I've had some time to think. And you ought to know probably as well as anybody the things that have happened to me in my life in the past, what, year, 6 months, whatever it is. And I think you know that I've done what I could do. But frankly, I finally realized maybe it doesn't do any good. Maybe it's a waste of time. I look at that kid, and you're right, I see an Anderson. I see what it can be. I don't see what somebody else wants me to make it. I see what it can be for me. I can see what it might do for that kid. And if you really stop and think about it, Bolt, if you give it some time and reflect on it, you're looking at me right now. I feel like I'm going back in time. Well, maybe that's what we ought to do. Maybe that's what we got to do. Maybe that's what it has to be. Maybe it's got to go back in time. Because if I look at it honestly, I look at you, and I look at Tommy Rich, and I look at, Dusty Rhodes. I look at this Magnum TA, and I realize, all of a sudden, like a light, when I see this kid, all of a sudden I realize, you know what, Ole, you've been a kind of a dummy. You know why? No, wait a minute, you know why? Because, bold frankly, I've been carrying you, I've been carrying Tommy Rich, I've been carrying Dusty Rhodes, I've been carrying all of you. I've been carrying you. I can squat with 700 pounds and all of you together weigh a little bit more, and I'm just finally tired of it. You used to tell me how... Don't shake your head.
I mean, the people told me. The people said, hey, look, there isn't anything changing. I mean, this is just the trinkets before you, you know, this goes way back, way, way back. I mean, are you going to be a liar?
No, I don't call it a liar. I don't call it a liar. I realize I just wake up. No, wait a minute. Let me say something. They talk about, get that camera, and you say you look in a person's eyes, and you can tell whether they're giving you any garbage, BSing you, so they call it.
Yeah.
You take a look, and you're going to see in my eyes, you're going to see the truth. I'm going to just tell you right now. Oh, don't worry. I'm not going to touch you. Not yet. I'm going to tell you this. Today is a free day. Today is the day that you and I look at each other and I admit, nice guy that you were, whatever. But I helped you. You can't deny it. The days are over. I'm leaving. Next time I see you, I would suggest maybe you watch out.
Secret. Look at this. Look what it says right here on my shirt. Evil, mean, and nasty. And that was given to me by somebody who likes me. Now, when it matters with the people that don't like me, imagine what they're thinking. Imagine what Dusty Rhodes is thinking. Imagine what the Rock and Roll Express is thinking. And when I have to look at Dusty Rhodes out here talking about how he's going to get rid of the Four Horsemen, and especially how he's going to get rid of Ole Anderson, then you got some recalling to do. You got to remember the time in the parking lot. You got to remember the time in the dressing room. You got to remember the time in the cage. I got to go down and get some film clips. Maybe I'll bring them here one day, and I'll show them to you. Because when the people see what I'm talking about and refresh their mind, they're going to remember that Ole Anderson don't wait for nobody. I don't wait for the referees. I don't wait for your partners to get around. I don't wait for the bell to ring. I don't wait for nothing. I made one prediction. In my life, I made one prediction, and it's that Dusty Rhodes isn't going to be here in 1986. It's no rumor. You don't have to start imagining things. I'm telling you, Rhodes, you're out. You're out. 86 is going to be the year. You talk about whether I'm going to do it. You damn right I'm going to do it. I'm going to make sure that when you get done, we ain't talking about broken legs or broken arms or a busted nose or a couple of teeth out. That isn't going to do it. I've already gone that route before. I've seen you on your backside. I've seen you with braces on your leg because they were broken. I've seen you with masks on because your nose was broken. I want to see you. That's the only way. And I guarantee you, Rhodes, people do a lot of hollering. They do a lot of screaming, and I do it myself sometimes. But you look at me and you get that camera real close, get it in real tight, then you'll know I'm telling the truth. I mean every word I say.
Stood there boldly, sweating in the sun. Felt like a million, felt like number one. The height of summer, I'd never felt that strong, like a rock. I was 18, didn't have a care, working for peanuts, not a dime to spare. But I was leaning solid everywhere, like a rock. My hands were steady, my eyes were clear and bright. My walk had purpose, my steps were quick and light. And I held firm to what I felt was right, like a rock. Like a rock. I was strong as I could be, like a rock. Nothing ever got to me, like a rock. I was something to see, like a rock. And I stood arrow straight, unencumbered by the weight of all these hustlers and their schemes. I stood proud, I stood tall, high above it all. I still believed in my dreams. Where they go, 20 years, I don't know. I sit and I wonder sometimes where they've gone. And sometimes late at night, oh, when I'm bathed in the firelight, moon comes calling a ghostly way, and I recall, like a rock, standing arrow straight.